Okay, so as an introduction to today in the Mate Attic, we just want to bring back the day that it was my today in the Mate Attic. I was on the road on my way into Rancho Bernardo on the 78 freeway, and I was on my way to an appointment. 8 o'clock in the morning was my time of arrival, and it was maybe 7:35, 7:40, and the entire 78 freeway came to a halt. Like, it actually stopped moving, and I spent about 10 minutes on the freeway around the Emerald exit, and I was approaching Vista Village, and I decided to call the woman that I had an appointment with, and I got off the freeway. She let me know that there had been a major car accident, and that I wasn't getting anywhere near her house anytime soon because the whole thing was backed up, all the way down the 15. Which, for anybody who knows what that is, that's about 20 miles of backed up traffic that had come to an actual stop. So I finally got to the freeway exit, and I got off Vista Village. I was well acquainted with that exit, and I was headed to Starbucks because my appointment, it actually involved some things that I could do. I could do a decent portion of it online, and so I was considering going, getting a cup of coffee, and then using their Wi-Fi to go ahead and redeem some of the time that I had lost, because my appointment wasn't going to happen, and I had lost my morning for anything else. And so I arrive at the crossroads where if I turn right, I'll go to Starbucks. And I had this thought: I wonder if that coffee shop owned by those Jewish people is still in business. And so with that thought, I turned left instead of right. And I circled downtown Vista, and there it was. I saw it, the Yellow Deli. I didn't even know it was called the Yellow Deli, and I really thought it was just a coffee shop, because the only time I'd ever been there, I had a cup of coffee, and I sat by the fire pits. So when I get there, I have this plan where I'm going to go in, and I'm going to get a cup of coffee, and I'm going to set up my little Wi-Fi computer station, and I'm going to get going on a online meeting, doing some things associated to updating my online profile for business. And so when I get there, I've got my little computer bag, and I've got my plan, and there's this man who's washing the windows out front. And he's washing the windows out front, wiping them off. And he pulls me over and says, "Hey, where do you want to go? Do you want to go upstairs or do you want to place downstairs?" And I remember asking him, "I don't know, what's the difference?" And so he responds by saying, "Well, that depends. Who are you?" And I was a little bit taken aback because, first of all, I'm not accustomed to being pulled over as I enter a coffee shop and asked where I'm going and who I am. And so I respond by saying, "I'm just a wandering so-and-so looking for a cup of coffee." So the man's eyes light up and he says, "What? I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to go upstairs to the Mate Attic. You're going to see my friend Zakar. And you're going to tell him that you need a spot in the sheep seat, and he's going to give you a cup of dark roast mate on the house." And I was a little bit stunned and seemed like I was given direction, so I just started to obey the command, not really knowing what had just happened. So I start to walk upstairs, And I realized that I have no idea what the Mate Attic is. I have no idea what the sheep seat is. I have no idea who Zakar is. And I didn't even remember any of those things in the first place. So I said, I stopped going up the stairs, and I walked over and I said, hey, I really appreciate what you're saying, but do you think maybe you could introduce me to whoever it is that you're talking about? Because I don't really feel comfortable just going up and saying, hey, this guy downstairs said you should give me a free mate or whatever. So he says, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, well, yeah, just go upstairs and I'll go ahead and introduce you. Just walk slow. Read the mural on your way up. I said, read the mural. Okay. So I went upstairs and I read the mural, which happens to be a mural that's no longer there, but it was about the elusive dream. It has kind of like a 60s theme with, some kind of psychedelic aspects to it. And on there is the crossroads of Haight and Ashbury in San Francisco. And so he had no way of knowing this, but I had actually been involved a little bit in the dead scene, and I was actually born in San Francisco and was, as a baby, lived very close to Haight Street with my mother and father, who were kind of like, whoa, where am I and what am I doing here? And who are these people? And so I get upstairs and... And when I get there, there's a woman who's sitting in the corner, and she's got her study things out, kind of books out on the counter. And as we walk up, the man who is escorting me says, "Hey, my friend here, he kind of needs that seat. Do you mind moving over one?" And I say, "No, you don't have to move. I don't need that seat." And he says, no, he really needs that seat. You don't mind, do you? And so she kind of looks at us and says, no, that's fine. And so he sits me down and gets me situated and tells the man behind the bar, he says, Zakar, I want you to take care of this man. He needs a dark roast on the house. So couple of knowing glances are exchanged between the two men that I had just met, and the one who escorted me walked away, and there I was sitting there with my cup of dark roast mate, and I'm looking at this man, and I ask him, okay, level with me. Who are you people? What is this place? Like, what is going on here? And without flinching, he says, we're the 12 tribes. And I said, like of Israel? And he said, yes. Yeah, that's us. And I said, no, you're not. Now, I look back and realize that my response was based upon my own studies, knowing that the 12 tribes of Israel had been scattered and that there was no such thing on the earth and that there were some remnants, that there were many people that were looking for their heritage online and finding them. But there was no collective 12 tribes that I was aware of, and therefore, I said, no, you're not. I had no idea there was such a thing. So he goes on to tell me a little bit about who these people were behind the bar. And I was fascinated. But things got kind of busy. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and there was kind of a morning rush, and so people started showing up. And when they started showing up, I kind of faded into an observer position, and I started to watch and observe, and I started to see that people that were sitting at the bar were obviously had a rapport with the man behind the bar, and the way that he was fielding the conversations caused me to realize that this man was very different than most barkeeps, you know, most bartenders, most people who had served me a drink. And so I was taken aback by the situation, and there was this one exchange where, as he was having a conversation, someone started talking to him about beards. And he said, well, a man can shave his beard if he wants to lose his glory. And I thought, glory? What does he mean by that? Now, granted, I was a clean-shaven man, and so I wasn't offended, but I was more just interested in what exactly he had meant, because I'd never associated a beard with glory, at least not in the religious sense, because most of the religious people that I had ever met all were clean-shaven. Not sure if I ever saw a preacher with a beard, but maybe they exist. But all I knew was is that I had heard a reference to glory, and it had never resonated with me before when I had heard that word. So I wanted to know what he meant. And then he was talking about a woman and when she would cut her hair, and that was another example of someone giving up their glory. And I thought, interesting. I want to know more about what these people are saying and what they're doing. And then I entered into a conversation with the people at the bar. And that was pretty much the last that I had heard from the man behind the bar, who had the answers to the questions that I had. But he got busy, and I started doing what I generally would do, which was get into social interactions and kind of just enjoy myself, and ended up leaving with another couple who had called me over during the conversation that we had had and had actually invited me to go with them for some trip to go hiking in the mountains. So that's what I did for that day. And so when I returned to get my vehicle, I was exhausted, and I wanted to go back into the bar and see if that man was still there. But it was evening by that time, and I had left in the morning. And so I thought, well, got some food for thought. And then I realized that he had given me a piece of paper, some sort of pamphlet, you know, before I had left. And so I took that with me, and I went about my business. And when I went ahead and was shuffling through my papers as I sat on the side of the road in a neighborhood in Encinitas looking to book my next appointment, kind of... I was going through my business cards and different things that I had, and I found this little pamphlet, and I sat there and I read it. And when I read that paper, I was fascinated by the fact that it was so personally convicting to me, but in a good way. It was kind of like I was kind of ashamed at what I had given myself to, but nevertheless was filled with this kind of like hope that I could maybe be different, which was kind of a foreign feeling to me. And so I wasn't really sure exactly what to think about it. But I went ahead and I called the phone number on the back. And when I called the phone number in the back, I called really to, I wanted to talk to the manager in order to, the manager of the restaurant, in order to let them know that their employees were extremely hospitable and that they really, really made an impression on me. And I wanted to kind of make it known to their employers that they'd really, really done well. And I just wanted to thank the owner, the manager, whoever I could talk to, because that was my, that was what I knew about how you encourage someone is, you know, you go ahead and give them a good review. Mm-hmm. And so someone answers the phone, they say, hello. And I said, hey, yeah, I wanted to speak to your manager if the owner's around or anything. I'm not wanting to solicit anything or anything like that. I just wanted to let them know that I came into your place and I was just treated very well and very hospitable, and the, just the way that it went, I just really wanted to thank them. And I never paid for anything either, and so I just was really touched by it. And she said, oh, well, that's wonderful, but this isn't the restaurant. This is our house. And I said, your house? Who puts their phone number on the back of a pamphlet to their house? And like, she was like, oh, well, because we want people to call us. I could not wrap my head around this one, because I'd never, it just didn't even seem wise, but nevertheless, they were just, I realized looking back that I was really won over by the spirit of hospitality that was there. But so she says, well, if you really want to thank them, well, then what you should do is you should come over to our house on Friday night. And I said, you know what? I am going to come over to your house. I think I asked her, what happens on Friday night? She said, oh, we celebrate the Sabbath and we have, you know, a meal together and music. And I said, yeah, I'm gonna be there. I tell you what, I'm going to be there. And so... so I came to the house, to the home of the people behind the Mate Attic. And when I was there, I heard the word of the Creator spoken over human vocal cords with something that resonated deep in my heart that let me know that I had come to someone's home, that I was in someone's home that had been opened up to me. And somehow I knew from the very beginning that I was being invited in. And I didn't understand anything, because nobody really told me that I was until after the gathering, after the music, and after the sharing of the different brothers and sisters there. And but then they asked me if I wanted to spend the night, and I said, well, I've got to go to work in the morning. And so they said, at what time? And I said, well, I've got an appointment, like 8 o'clock in the morning. And they said, oh, well, we gather at 8 o'clock. And I said, yeah. So and they said, well, you could still spend the night. We can get you, you know. And I just couldn't understand exactly why these people were offering me a place to stay when I told them that I have a place to stay. I'm not homeless. Thank you very much. Not that they thought that I was, but I just had not really, you know, I hadn't encountered it before. And so I did. I went ahead, and out of curiosity, perhaps, maybe not alone, but also maybe there was something working in my soul, maybe a hope that there was an open door here, because I think deep down I understood that I was desperate for a radical change in my life that I could not bring about on my own. And and I'd been praying for it, and I'd been beating the floor for it, and I'd been in tears, and I'd been really groping to find the truth for many years. And I had this glimmer of hope that maybe through some random sequence of events that I had actually stumbled upon what I was looking for. But I wasn't ready to give myself to that kind of thinking, but I went ahead and went over to the house, and there was a bunk bed there prepared for me, and I was 32 years old. Not been a while since I'd lived in or slept on a bunk bed, but I went ahead and, yeah, this is great. Woke up in the morning to the sound of angels. And it was very disorienting because I heard singing, beautiful voices singing. And I thought I was dreaming. Then I realized that I wasn't dreaming. And then I thought that I was hearing some kind of, I really considered it might have been angels for a couple of seconds, but then I realized that it was actual human voices that were singing outside my window. And when it finally registered, I was like, wait a minute. There's like women singing outside of my window right now. And I'm in some foreign bed of these people I just couldn't understand what or why, but then for everyone else, it seemed to be very normal and regular. And so I was like, who are these people? And so I don't think we should go on too much longer, but
this is great.
But I think it's important to note that I went to work, to make the long story shorter. Went to work that day and I had to look over some notes that I was really kind of looking through notebooks and things that I had written down in my journal, and I got pretty convinced that, you know, this was it. This was what I had been praying for and what I had been looking for and what I had given up on finding almost. And I'd traveled all over the place, all over the country, and looked in under every stone and had searched the internet and searched the libraries and searched the gurus and just, but there it was right in my backyard, just right off the freeway. And I couldn't handle it. And so I had to go back. So I went back to the restaurant. But of course it was Saturday night, and so it was closed. And so I was a little bummed out, but I was like, I forgot it was the Sabbath. I said, I thought it was over, you know, it's Saturday night, but whatever. So I went home, woke up in the morning, took a long walk on the beach, considered things, but I couldn't really think of anything else, and I couldn't really do anything else. And so I went back to the Yellow Deli. But this was Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning. But the Yellow Deli doesn't open until noon. So there I was, 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning. I get to the gate. It's shut. It's locked. It's closed. And I was just like, forget it. And I was just going to give up and just go back to work tomorrow. But there was this man watering the plants. And he says, hey, what are you looking for? I said, I don't know. I was at your house the other night. And I had this meal, and there was this, and he said, oh, well, just go to the back. They'll let you in. I said, go to the back. I said, okay. So once again, there I was just being obedient to a command that I didn't even know how to follow, but I just went around to the back and found a back door and walked through it. And people were looking at me kind of like, what's he doing here? But I was hoping I could get another cup of that mate that I had before. And I said, okay. So I went upstairs, sat in the seat, in the sheep seat. And there were people kind of walking back and forth. And I asked for a cup of mate. I said, hey, don't worry. I'll pay for it this time. And they said, yeah, okay. And so here we are full circle to today in the mate attic. Because there's something about today in the mate attic. And on that day, it was the day that as I sat there, as is the custom of anyone who works in a yellow deli, they gather together on Sunday morning to have what's called a deli meeting, which is when we discuss all of the things that make up for running a yellow deli. And as I sat there, everyone from the community in Vista poured into the room, and some of them noticed me and some of them didn't, but I was just another person in the room sitting in the corner, and I heard what makes for a yellow deli and what the people in the yellow deli are commissioned to do and what it takes in order to do it. And so when it was over, I said to someone walking by, I said, well, it is Sunday and I don't have anything better to do. So, you know, maybe I can lend a hand for the afternoon. And as for that man's life who sat there that day in the mate attic, that was all she wrote. And I never left. And here I am sitting across from the man who is washing those windows and pulled me over and told me where I should go and what I should do and what I should have. And that's
today in the mate attic.
That's the day in the mate attic.
That's so wonderful.